Well, good morning, church family. I trust you've been experiencing God's faithfulness this morning and his goodness and his grace. Summers are a blessing, as we've heard before. It gives us time to reset and recharge. And certainly, both Maureen and I were able to do that this summer. We spent a little bit of time in Jamaica, which is where we're both from. And it was really great to recharge, reset, take in a little bit of history. It was their emancipation time that they were celebrating. So it was a good time. One such person that I discovered since returning from Jamaica and still having that history bug within me is a person named Mary Seacole. Mary Seacole was a woman of faith who lived out her Christian walk through a life of selfless service. She was born in Jamaica in 1805. She learned traditional herbal medicine from her mother, a respected healer. Mary viewed her talent for healing as a divine calling from God to help those who were suffering. In 1854, reports reached London about the terrible conditions and lack of nursing care for the British soldiers at the Crimean War. Knowing she had the skills to save lives, Mary traveled to England and applied to the British War Office to kind of hopefully to join Florence Nightingale, a name that some of you might know, especially if you're into nursing, to join Florence Nightingale's team of official nurses. She was turned away repeatedly. Her offers of help were refused by government officials and nursing managers alike. Mary attributes this painful rejection directly to prejudice. Yes. She wrote in her autobiography about how deeply it hurt her to see her genuine desire to do good work not happen because of the color of her skin. The rejection deeply saddened her and threatened to steal her joy. Well, we come to the final chapter of the book of Philippians, a book that we've been studying all summer. It's in the New Testament. And we have a far greater reconciliation here, though, than just race. Okay? This is not a race issue. So you can relax, okay? We have two other women who have lost some of their joy, and because of this, it had the potential to drive a wedge between their relationship with God. And again, this has a far greater impact or consequence than race. I want to be clear, though. True believers cannot lose their source of joy as they remain secure in their faith. Okay? So on that note, let's read Philippians 4, 2 to 9. And I'll be reading from the NIV. Philippians 4, 2 to 9. It says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I thank you for this privilege this morning to stand here to impart your word. I pray, Lord, not only will the congregation be fed, but may I be fed as well as I impart your word. Father, help us to not be distracted by things around us, thoughts that we brought in. Father, help us to focus on your word. Help me to be clear. And Father, may I just bring honor to your word this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So because Paul's aware of the unfriendly relations between Judea and Syntyche and doesn't want to leave it there, notice how he does this. He does three things. Number one, he makes a request. He makes a request. And those are in verses 2 and 3. Paul has them then recall some important things in verses 4 to 7. Okay, so he makes a request, then he makes a recall. And then the final thing he does is he helps them to recalibrate in verses 8 and 9. So we got request, recall, or you can think of it as to help them to remember, and then recalibrate. These three things will also provide some structure this morning as we navigate through the text, okay? We need to recognize, so we're getting into requests now. So we need to recognize that Paul is commanding Judea and Syntyche to come into agreement. He has heard that their disagreement is hurting others, hurting themselves. It's hurting the gospel message that they're preaching and hurting themselves in the relationships that they once had. Paul is commanding them from a position of love and not as a taskmaster, but as someone who has worked very closely alongside these two women. Paul actually says, these two women have contended by my side in the cause of the gospel. Paul has recognized how their disagreement is being seen by others in the church. He knows this. This does not give good testimony, obviously, right? So there's something going on between these two women, and it's hurting the church. So as a very experienced and qualified leader, Paul calls these two individuals out. You know, he singles them out in this letter. And it's interesting note. A brother of mine shared this with me yesterday. I didn't have it originally in my sermon, but I thought, let me put it in. Judea, the name Judea means prosperous journey, success, or here's a good one, sweet fragrance. You know, and here they are having a conflict. Syntyche means fortunate, acquaintance, or bringing together by fate, right? Wow. Paul likely noticed this irony and wanted to highlight that their present attitude is causing disunity within the church of Philippi, and he begged them to agree in the Lord. Agree in the Lord. Paul uses this phrase, agree in the Lord, again in verses 4 and again in verses 8. Judea and Syntyche need to have the same mind of Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. Not identical opinions to every small situation, obviously. It means submitting all our personal preferences and conflicts to the ultimate authority, to the mission of Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us back in chapter 2, verses 5 and 8, what other attitudes should be ours too. We read, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on the cross. That's the benchmark. That's the example, church. And every one of us who have made Christ the Lord in our lives will want to have this attitude of obedience as well, because Christ has demonstrated this submission to his Father. So, church, it's not about us. It's never about us. We will submit, though with some struggle, because we battle with the old nature. There's that thing called an ego. The point is for Christians, it's not something to ponder over or to strategize for one's own gain. This is a submission that is expected because it will be done. When Paul entreats Judea and Syntyche to agree in the Lord, he fully expects them to be able to do so. Fully. Not under compulsion, but because they truly desire to be like Christ. Paul also does something else. He seeks out the support of others from the group who have these special gifts and experiences and skills who can come alongside Judea and Syntyche. We don't quite know who this is. We can speculate. We only know Paul refers to the individual as a true companion. So someone very closely aligned and committed to sharing the gospel. He wants this true companion, along with Clement and the other fellow workers, to encourage Judea and Syntyche because they have contended by Paul's side, or who have labored joyfully with Paul and perhaps experiencing some of the same hardships with others and have remained steadfast and committing. He's getting that help. They need that support. Like many of you here at Faith Baptist Church who remain steadfast and committed to each other. I was in here yesterday just practicing, and you know, as I'm practicing, I'm seeing the ladies coming in and they're going downstairs, and what they were doing, it was a share and care. And to me, that's a beautiful thing to see. Right, we need each other to be pouring into us and helping us and having those beautiful conversations. Some of that may even be holding us accountable. So group support is needed. These fellow workers or community of believers and leaders of the church are to remind Judea and Syntyche of whom they serve. And Paul would expect Judea and Syntyche to remember that their names are already written in the book of life. It's in the book of life. Their salvation is already secured. That means petty squabbles, slights by others, prejudice, feelings of inadequacy should not even interfere with their love of Christ. Perspective, right? Their citizenship is not here. Neither is ours, church. So why are they acting like people of the world? Why? Romans 12:2 gives that example. They need to be seeing Christ as the example who is from above. Paul knows how often we need the community of believers around us to stoke the flames of our faith. Isn't that why we show up to church? One of the reasons why, right? To be encouraged and to give encouragement. Judea and Syntyche have tasted and have seen that the Lord is good. We don't imagine that they would ever want to go back to the way life was before Christ came into their hearts, to their life. We now come to recall or to remember, which this is verses 4 and 7. And Paul now tells Judea and Syntyche what else they need to be reminded of. And we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always." These are verses 4 to 7. "I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Our inner joy in the Lord should be intentionally attended to. To experience joy always and not be dependent on our outward circumstances. Okay? Our inner joy in the Lord should be intentionally tended to and experienced always, no matter what's going on, so that we're not dependent on outward circumstances. Are you experiencing joy always in the Lord? How are you doing in attending to the true joy in the Lord? The joy I'm talking about is deep. It's lasting spiritual confidence that remains even during hard times. It is knowing that God is sovereign over everything. Christians can lose this feeling of joy. We can get caught up with all sorts of things, which if we're not careful, we will end up giving our joy away or compromising that joy or first love. So what can we do? We can be intentional. We can sustain this joy by not taking our eyes off Jesus. When we feel that feeling of compromise coming in, we can give ourselves that spiritual checkup that might reveal some, you know, unconfessed sins that we need to deal with. You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves, examine yourself to see if you're in the Lord. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you? We need to, just like we have physical checkups, actually, we should be giving ourselves those spiritual checkups daily, right? Remember how faithful he has been in the past. That's one of the things we can do. And a setback that he's carried you through. My. I keep remembering all the time when I had COVID. And when things are happening around me since that time, I go back to the time I had COVID and nearly lost my life. Being in a hospital for a month and one kidney not working and possibly being on the air machine. It was not fun, but in the other sense it was a joyous experience, let me tell you. Because as the word says, God gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding. The world doesn't get it. The world does not get it. And that's why I show up every day, and that's why I commit my life to him. Because we have something so special that the world needs it. The joy we have in Christ needs to be intentionally recalled and shared. It needs to be shared among believers. Joy is infectious, and it can influence how we view our outward circumstances. Because it's telling us, which lens are we looking through? You know? Shifting our focus towards God's mercies leaves no room for grumbling, and it lifts our minds above daily trials. Charles Spurgeon, a theologian, noted that since our joys in Christ outnumber our trials, our expression of gratitude should naturally outweigh our complaints. If we remember that the Lord is near, we will submit with gratitude, quiet meditation, singing of songs, and going about our day with 1,000 thought prayers. 1,000 thought prayers. You know, in a school where I am, where situations are coming up almost every 10 minutes, man, I'm telling you, I'm walking down the hallway and I'm going through so many thought prayers at that time because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Thought prayers. Teachers will be saying, are you okay? I was just in my mind. I'm good. I'm just thought prayers. What a blessing it is to be able to talk to God anytime and any place. Anytime, any place. There's nobody else like that. The Lord is near. We will submit with gratitude, quiet meditation, singing of songs, and those thought prayers. Paul has asked two people in seemingly sharp disagreement to agree in the Lord. That might be hard. It's not easy. It might be the last thing those two will ever want to do. But regardless, they can both rejoice in the Lord. It is less about seeking out joy and more about the fact that even in the hard moments, we are to still have joy. Our names are written in the book of life, and our every worry and fear can be laid before the Lord who loves us. Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus was with him. Again, we don't know what the altercation was between Euodia and Syntyche, but we do know like them, we fall under the same broken relationships with others, don't we? So whether Judea or Syntyche were slighted, they should still have joy. Maybe you've been slighted this week. Whether Judea or Syntyche experience exclusion, they should still have joy. Maybe you've been excluded. Whether Judea or Syntyche felt the other taking credit or ideas, getting all that attention, you should still have joy. Maybe you've been overlooked. Remember Paul, who has been beaten and locked up at midnight? What did he do? What did he do? He began to pray. He's just locked up in the dungeon. He starts to pray. Man, shackles on him and he's praying. That is some joy. Not only did he pray, but he was also singing hymns. Even more crazy. That's crazy. Oftentimes, our outward circumstances can steal our inner joy. Oftentimes, our outward circumstances can steal our inner joy. Many of us carry invisible backpacks, a burden that we're never meant to carry. Have you ever packed for a vacation to regret how much you've packed? You know, when my wife and I went to Jamaica, it was, she's probably blushing over there, you know, we're packing and we're putting everything in the suitcase. Man, it's just so packed, and we're weighing it and we're packing stuff in there. I mean, you'd think we'd be gone for like 6 months. But it's packed. The bag is heavy to carry this thing. Your hands and shoulders are exhausted. Not to mention the darn thing lost a wheel, so you're there with this thing, doing this all the way in the airport. And you're wondering, how long do I got to pull and carry this thing? Well, many of us followers of Christ, we overpack our spiritual bags. We think we will need all this stuff with where we're going. Worry, fear, anxiety, those things press in on us. God says, give that to me. You don't need any of that. Instead, carry this, a much lighter pack. Remember verse 6? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Every time you pray, you are reaching into the heavy backpack, taking out a specific anxiety. And you're handing it to God. Paul says, do this with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is remembering that God has already carried you through the heavy things before. Now look at the beautiful promise in verse 7. What does he say? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, not some understanding, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you dump out your heavy backpack at the feet of Jesus, something supernatural happens, church. You don't walk away empty-handed. He hands you his pack, the one filled with peace. This peace doesn't make sense to the world. Your circumstances might be the same, but your shoulders feel so much lighter. God's peace supports you now in your heart, making sure those things don't find their way back into your bag. I think Judea and Syntyche needed a little help from others to remind them of this. For those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? Come and make him first place on your throne. Ditch the someone or something that is the imposter. You can change that today. A friend of mine who I still continue to witness to came very close to accepting Christ a few weeks ago. His experience brought him close to the peace that he was looking for. But something happened. He stopped coming to church, but he still reaches out with questions to me and still has that hunger for peace that he knows he can have. But something is stumping him. We now come to recalibrate. These are verses 8 and 9. So after the request Paul has made to both Judea and Syntyche and seeking others to support them, he urges them to recall the joy that's available at every moment. And now recalibration, this is the idea of adjusting our minds, making those corrections. Verses 8 and 9 says, Paul says, what things to think about. And he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We are to examine what we are putting into our minds. You know, I walk around and I think this is God's temple. Shouldn't be defiled. You think about the back in the Old Testament and how they were so meticulous in cleaning that temple and we're the temple. And so we need to be making sure what goes in. Examine what we're putting in our minds. Through what? Through television, internet, books, conversations that we have, movies, magazines, and the list goes on. We are to replace harmful input with wholesome material. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's Romans 12:2. And here's something for you young people. Andrew Fletcher once said, let me make the songs of a nation. Make me write the songs of a nation. I care not who makes the laws. What does that mean? It means art changes our hearts. Music, stories, art can shape what people love, hate, and value. It's powerful. The stories and songs of a generation that they grew up with shapes the minds for good or bad. Fletcher lived in the 1700s, and how true it is still today. So are we being discerning? Are we being careful and cautious of what we're taking in? So what are some examples of what we can be thinking about and thereby doing? And they don't all have to be spiritual things, by the way. Here are some: reading, exercising, painting, drawing, keeping a promise to a friend, sending a birthday card to a neighbor, paying it forward to the person in front of you. This happened to me, I had to say it. I mean, it was in early July, I was over here going over my sermon, and I went over to Burger King to get something to eat, and, you know, I'm ready to pay. I made my order, ready to pay, and this person's not even handing me the thing that I could put my card in, and I'm like, what's going on? He goes, she paid for you. I'm like, what? And I see this hand stick out in front of me like this, and I knew exactly who it was. Man, that was so amazing, right? So these are things we can be thinking about, and when we think about those things, we want to do those things, right? Giving mercy to a parent who has been absent, wow, for much of your life. Forgiving a parent for the wrong they have inflicted on you. Remembering that person you saw just the other day return that dropped wallet to a stranger. Thinking about these things and doing those things. Maybe you've done some of these things. Listening to the innocent laughter of a child. Pausing to take in that spectacular sunset, thinking about a classmate or colleague who has always had your back, listening to great music that praises the one true God. Faith Baptist Church, let's continue to read God's word and pray and put these things into practice. If you did have a falling out with someone recently, I would encourage you to reconcile with that person. Actually, God expects this from you. It is a hard thing to go through, but Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or see in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What a great example Judea and Syntyche had in Paul. I believe Syntyche and Judea would have soon put these things into practice. And would have experienced the peace that they needed. Well, back to Mary Seacole. Mary Seacole's heartbreak lasted only a short time. Refusing to let racism stop her from answering God's call, Mary decided to fund the trip herself. She traveled right to the dangerous front lines of the Crimea War and used her own money to build a place of ironwood and call the place the British Hotel. It was a sanctuary for the cold, the sick, the wounded soldiers to get a warm meal and to get medical care. The troops grew to deeply love her, calling her Mother Seacole because of her warm, comforting, and joyful spirit. Though the British government could not see that her efforts were aligned to theirs in the battle and tried to sideline her, Mary persevered, experiencing the joy in the midst of opposition. Church, treasure your faith in Christ more than anything else, and do what you know is right. As we walk with God, He will speak to you through your conscience, letting you know right from wrong and keeping your conscience clear. You know, there's promptings and there's I don't know how to explain it, but you have these convictions that happen that guide you. And then you will experience the Holy Spirit's power to sustain you through whatever trial you are going through. Because God is sovereign over all things, even over our perseverance with others. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this message this morning. I thank you that it is a message that I need. Thank you, Lord, that you are preaching to me and that you've used me. And I pray that those that are here this morning, that someone it would reach someone this morning and it would make a difference in their life. Father, we are relational beings. You have made us this way. And the most important relationship of all is with you. We want to experience this fellowship and the joy with you always, despite what's going on around us and within us. Because of your supreme sovereignty, we can rejoice always. Amen.